This morning, our gospel reading is the Beatitudes as found in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so aware of your presence when the sun is shining, when things in our life are happy and everything is going the way we want it to go. But in the midst of darkness, O God, sometimes we neglect to remember that you are also by our side. Open us always to your presence, to your forgiveness, to your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm a little nervous now to close my eyes in prayer. I went to a workshop, a retreat yesterday at a convent in Ancaster, and it was to learn a type of prayer called centering or contemplative prayer. And so the day began with an introduction to what it was, and then our first 20-minute session of silent prayer, and I fell asleep. So now I know how the rest of you feel when the prayers go on too long. So now I'm literally afraid to close my eyes. I didn't know I had that ability to just nod off. Has anybody else had enough of these dark, gray days? Yeah, you know, as much as I don't miss the minus 30 temperatures, I do miss the sunny days in Quebec. Sunshine just makes winter, it makes every day so much easier, doesn't it? I've been working hard this winter to make peace with the dark. I'm pretty good at evenings. I actually have come to enjoy curling up with a book and good music after a busy day. I'm not too bad at nights, although I must admit, even after 8 years of never finding a critter in my house, I'm still pretty convinced a rat is going to run over my foot when I hit the floor in the middle of the night. We all have strange fears of the dark, don't we? But for me, it's mostly the mornings. I still struggle with dark mornings. When I open my eyes and there is no light, I still just want to cover my head with the blankets and stay there all day. What is it, anyway, our fear of, our dislike of darkness? I picked up Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, this week. partly because she's one of my favorite preachers and writers, but also because the title intrigued me. And I've decided I really don't want to spend half of every year simply waiting for the darkness to pass. Now, of course, you might guess that being a preacher and a theologian, Brown Taylor is not just speaking about literal darkness, although that certainly figures into her discussion. She's also speaking of those dark nights of the soul, those phases of life where we are stuck in the valley of the shadow of death, of grief, of loneliness, of fear, of depression, of anything that keeps us from feeling the way we do when we're surrounded by light. I invite you to just take a moment right now, and I'm not going to ask you to share anything out loud, but just take a moment and think about the last time that you had a dark day or a dark period in your life, one of those unhappy days. Maybe it was the death of someone you love. Maybe it was a period of illness. Maybe it was the falling apart of a special relationship in life. Most of us can remember pretty clearly how it feels to be surrounded by hopelessness or fear or whatever the predominant emotions are at times like that. And what is our one wish, one thought, one prayer? I'm pretty sure that it's never, let me just bask in this darkness, right? But rather, it usually is, get me to the other side of this, and quickly. We can partly blame our faith, actually, for that, because Christian faith has mostly been a dualistic faith. Things are good or bad, black or white, right or wrong, light or dark. We have lived with a faith that tells us that everything is either or. So if we are surrounded by darkness, we've come to feel that somehow that is bad, that is not to be desired. We must reach for the light. I mean, after all, we were just told weeks ago in the first chapter of John, and we've been told over and over and over again in the season of Epiphany that Jesus is the light of the world. So why wouldn't we long for and cherish that light? But we must remember that the good news of the light of Christ is that that light shines even in the midst of darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. God is the one who walks with us, not only when our life is a life of ease and happiness, but God walks with us also through the valley of the shadow, even of death itself. Now, Barbara Brown Taylor is not the only one to tell us that we need to learn to lean into the darkness of life. Grief specialists tell us that there is no way around grief. There is no escaping its pain. The only way to emerge whole and healed from grief is to walk straight through it and to spend as much time in the darkness as is needed to make peace with our sadness and sorrow. There are also statistics on relationships that prove that if you do not take time to process the falling apart of one relationship, a new one will not last and will not be healthy. Our longing to walk in, to live in the light, can only be fulfilled if we are willing to spend quality time in the darkness, engaging fully with the fear, the sadness, the loneliness that life often brings our way. So, what does all of this have to do with our gospel reading for today, you might ask? Actually, nothing. I just read a good book and I wanted to talk about it. Sort of. But the Beatitudes do remind us that often it is, in fact, when we find ourselves in the midst of the roughest, the darkest times of life, that we learn the most about our faith, and we feel God's presence most profoundly. When you learn to lean into the darkness of life, when you learn to truly embrace the darkness, God is present in a way we simply don't experience him in the light of day. In the darkness, you encounter God in a new way. You feel the embrace of God in a way you never would or could if your life were perfect. Part of ministry that I love the most is the privilege of listening to people reflect on their life, on choices made, on opportunities seized or left behind, on regrets or celebrations. Last week, I spent time with someone as he faced impending death, and as he reflected on the relatively privileged life he had enjoyed, he made note of the fact that he had the good fortune of being born a white male into a good family in an affluent society. In other words, he was saying he was simply fortunate, not blessed, to start off on a good foot. The grounding he received to begin his life was not, he said, of his choosing or making. I sometimes think we have been fooled in our society into believing that our blessings in life are those signs of affluence and luxury we enjoy. I'm not sure when it became commonplace to talk about being blessed by all of the good things that we enjoy in life, but we all do it, don't we? We say we're so blessed because we have good families, loving children, enough food, and lovely homes. But those luxuries of life are not things, I think, that God has chosen to give to some while excluding others, for our God is a God of justice. The blessings, in fact, are actually the things we find in the midst of the darkness of life, in the shadows of loneliness, poverty, grief, and despair. That is when and where we come to know God more clearly, and we come to feel blessed by love and grace, not because we live lives of affluence and ease, but because we have had the awesome privilege of walking through the darkness and finding that we are not alone after all, that darkness does not have the final word. But in the darkness itself, we actually come to experience our God more profoundly. That is the true blessing of our faith. Well, not that I have been keeping an eye on the calendar or anything, but we have 5 more weeks until the time changes and we add another hour of light to our days. And I heard this morning that spring is coming early, at least for us here, not so much in the East Coast, but that's their issue. And I know that the increasing light will be sweet relief for all of us. But let's not waste the time between now and then. Let's not waste any of the time we have in this life, even collectively within this community of faith. Every day that we are given is a gift. And even in the midst of, sometimes especially in the days, the periods of darkness, there are blessings to be found we never would have anticipated. Let's remember that beautiful reminder from our United Church Creed, and let's look for and celebrate the blessings of our God through all of the phases of life. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.